couldn't be more pleased to see our good friend Vincent Johnson decided to join us in studio on short notice. We saw the article on the city golf courses there in the Oregon Live, and I was scratching my head going, where did this come from? And director of golf now, you've been in that position for, I want to say, 18 months, 24 months?
Actually, it's about eight, since last September.
Oh, last September, yeah. Okay. And so former Oregon State golfer, you remember on Big Break, the first ever recipient of the Charlie Sifford exemption. And playing down there at Riviera, and that I looked and I go, oh my goodness, that was a decade ago.
Yeah,
it feels has passed.
It's really bizarre looking at the pictures and knowing those memories. Like, they're still so fond. You're like, wow, that was 10 years ago. That's unbelievable.
Well, and I know you're still out there. I think I saw you at one of the local qualifiers for the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
was that the one at Waverly?
It was. You know, I was. I missed by two. The last fairway I hit on the day was three. So I scrambled for about 4.5 hours. So my score actually wasn't that bad for barely being able to find my golf ball all day.
No kidding. But so you're still there. But as you mentioned, recently named as the director of golf for the city-owned courses. And so we saw the article. We'll post it again on the website at 1080thefan.com or at 1080thefan. But did you know that this was going on or that this was going to come out? And two, what was the initial reaction within Parks and Rec and you guys out there at the courses when you saw this claim that the city's courses are on the verge of bankruptcy?
Well, you know, I think there's you know, possibly two components of this. The audit actually was validating for us. You know, we have a golf strategic plan, and we've taken a lot of action since the 2017 year, and a lot of their findings and recommendations really align with what we have been doing. So it's a validation, really. I feel like with a lot of the attention that we've gotten, perhaps, you know, kind of figuring out where the golf program is currently at has been difficult, you know, kind of getting through that. And also, you know, the audit is kind of backwards looking where we're at the current day and looking forward.
Well, and your degree's in finance from Oregon State, graduated there in 3 years. And so you weren't just down there playing golf. Everybody's like, no, you've got a background, and you, I think, knew early on you were going to play as long as a career in golf was going to go. But I get the feeling you had a vision for being in the golf industry even when you were at Oregon State.
Absolutely. And I always wanted to have an impact. You know, I know how big it was, all the mentorship that I had in the game. And so to be able to have some way of giving back has been pretty incredible. And obviously, what better way than to help, you know, provide and make golf affordable to the public in the city I grew up in.
No question. And you grew up, played at David Douglas. So I'm sure you played on all those city courses as a kid growing up in competitions. So for those that aren't familiar, Rose City, Colwood, Heron Lakes, Eastmoreland, and then Redtail. But Redtail's a unique situation. You guys own the course, but not really operating it, those sort of things. So what is the current state of those five courses together, that, and what is your jurisdiction over all of them at this point?
Yeah,
in the
so
city?
We oversee the difference is we maintain the golf courses and we contract out the clubhouse operations. But bottom line, with where we're at now, 2017, obviously, we required a subsidy. And I think the big thing for the public to understand is where we're at now, the swift and immediate action that we took with Commissioner Fritz's leadership and then the continuation with Commissioner Fish now, we've built our fund balance. We've actually made money last year, and we've made money enough money this year to where we're at the point where if we would have experienced the same weather we saw in 2017 now, we wouldn't require subsidy. So it's been a lot of work. We've been really busy. There's more work to do, but we've made a lot of really great strides in a really short amount of time.
And so how, from a round standpoint, is there, you know, is it just a matter of getting people out to play more rounds to just give the more revenue boost to allow you to hire more superintendents or greenskeepers or whatever for that? Or is there more to it at this point?
Honestly, it is. I mean, obviously our activity, right? I mean, the more money we make, the more we can invest in, and the better things can be in our program. So ultimately it is about people playing more golf, and we're working to do that. Obviously we have that is our job, right? Is to make golf affordable, accessible. It's easy to get in, and to break down those barriers that have existed over decades. So, you know, that's what we take very seriously, and all of our thinking is towards how to build the next generation of golfers.
Chen here with Vincent Johnson, Director of Golf for the City Courses here in Portland. What are some of the other programs, though? I know, you know, trying to bring golf, you know, you go back to when you were 6 and 7 and golf club put in your hands for the first time, and it took. So I imagine you're the right guy to go now to the schools and the after school programs, and the PGA Junior League is kicking in. We're seeing that's a big push. We've seen these PGA Championship events and Susie Whaley there with the commercials with Steph Curry and Alex Morgan. What are some of the other programs, though, through the city where this money is going to help get those players that'll be eventually playing more rounds?
So, yeah, so we do, you know, we've partnered with you know, PGA, but also with the First Tee. They provide a lot of programming, especially out at Colwood. That's a very, very key partner in growing the future golfers. We know that's the easiest time to learn golf. From just being able to learn things when you're younger and ultimately have the time to do it. It's easiest to learn the game as a kid. But, you know, right now we're also focusing on adult, you know, getting the generation, you know, a lot of people say millennials didn't really pick up the game. So trying to get it to where adults who didn't play, how can they get into the game? Because they're going to help change that financial picture sooner than the junior generation coming up.
What are you finding is the way to connect maybe with that, 18 to 28-year-old generation that didn't get brought up in the game because their parents, you know, played all the time and took them out to the course? Where are they, how are they looking at the game of golf, and where are they finding an entry point that fits their lifestyle?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I think one thing that's really big is golf needs more perspectives, right? More viewpoints. And so one thing we've actually done with our golf advisory committee, we've appointed, Commissioner Fish appointed four new members who have helped diversify by age, gender, race, our committee. Point is that, you know, having millennial aged people give input on what they're looking for, what appeals to them, is a big part in answering those questions. So having people perhaps that have been in the industry know what has worked, perhaps those are, you know, not all the solutions reside there.
Is there pressure from other aspects of the city government on the golf courses wondering, is this the best use of land? Land is scarce in the city, obviously. Is there any pressure of, well, if we sold maybe one of them that was underperforming, took the cash to apply to the other ones to boost them up? Is there any, do you feel the pressure of whatever politics is being played at downtown at City Hall?
Well, I'll say two things. One, again, because we've in the short term, again, long term, we still have work to do. But we have corrected to where, you know, our forecasts show that we're going to be profitable, and we've been profitable since the subsidy. So as an enterprise fund, we're required to make our own money and cover our expenses. We are good there where we're at. But ultimately, you know, when you're talking about, you know, land use, I mean, one thing that I think the public, it's a really valuable thing to know is we maintain over 800 acres of green space without taxpayer money. And so that's a big piece. People do want green space, right? We do value that in Portland. And so we're able to help provide that.
Well, and say that again. I think some of this, you know, they see this one quote in 2007, an $800,000 taxpayer funded bailout. And everybody's thinking, this is all my city taxes going to that. That was a one-time thing. Your operating budget is based on your revenues, right?
Right, absolutely. And so that's why it was such an unprecedented year. And that's why, you know, at the time there was a lot of swift action being taken, because we know that wasn't acceptable. And that's not how our program, that's not how our system's set up.
Vincent Johnson joining us here, Director of Golf for the City Courses in Portland. What's the next step in terms of golf? What sort of programs? You talked about the advisory committee. What are some things that you are looking at in terms maybe of recommendation that you're moving towards implementation?
Right. So we've done, some piloting with some junior golf clinics and some women's golf clinics at community centers. So one big thing that golf is, I think, working to do is to meet people where they're at. Oftentimes we think about how we're going to help the beginners that are at our courses, which is vital. But you also have to remember there are a lot of people that aren't here, and many that don't know about us or know that the city has a golf program. So information and outreach is a huge, huge part of that, because, you know, bottom line, you know, getting out on that grass, you know, get on the course, we golfers know how amazing that is. We have some beautiful properties, but not enough people know exactly and all that the golf program has to offer.
For those that are experienced, you know, that do know about the courses that want to go out and play, that maybe say, you know, the greens fees are a little too high compared to some of the other privately operated courses, is there any, you know, how much do you look at your greens fees and say, well, if we lowered them by X, we'd see an increase in the amount of rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, is there that sort of discussion going on?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're very aware. I mean, that is our mission, right? I mean, we have our prices where we're at to make it to where we can cover our, you know, our expenses and make golf as affordable as possible to the public. You know, one thing is, since the recession, we held off on fee increases for quite some time. But ultimately, over time, you know, fees do need to increase. But we are very sensitive that, and we never forget, you know, and lose sight of our mission, which is we want people to be able to afford to play golf. But there's also a lot of promotions and different time slots, you know, and different pricing times that are less expensive. So your peak times are going to be more expensive, but ultimately there are some options that are really viable as far as having a smaller golf budget still playing.
Is there any discussion of the city taking back operations of the clubhouses and the pro shops and those sorts of things?
No, and to be frank, I mean, we really have a lot of faith in our operators. I mean, they've done a great job, you know, at all five facilities. And to think about the years that they've put in and what they provided the community, we couldn't be happier to work with them, and they've proved and provided a lot of success for us.
Vincent Johnson, director of golf, the city courses here in Portland. For people that want to find out more, get tee times, is there a single website they can go to, or is each course?
To find out more, you can go to portlandoregon.gov/parks/golf, and we have a lot of golf information there for you.
Fantastic. We'd love to get you back in when we have some more time, but it's good to see you, my friend. Good to see you doing well. Hopefully nobody will panic there. It's good to kind of get this and know the courses are okay here.
Yeah, I appreciate you seeing you again, and thanks for your time.
There you